You have questions, we have answers. This is Jane Muller.
And this is Ken Muller. Welcome to our show, all about real estate with Ken and Jane. And today, Jane, we're going to delve into the National Association of Realtors, known as the NAR, their data for the home buying and selling data for 2021, which covers basically the period from June of 2019 through June of 2021. And to start with, we should let the listeners know that the National Association of Realtors, for like the last 40 years, every year they compile data. They send out throughout the whole nation, they send out an elaborate questionnaire. I think now it's like over 150 questions. When it first started out, it was considerably less. But they ask the buyers and the sellers, you know, things that, you know, what motivated them to, what were the reasons they wanted to buy or sell. They ask them all these extensive questions. They've compiled a lot of data that we're going to get into. But for the first, we're going to take it as an overview because we don't want to, you know, bore the listeners with the numbers, but we want to comment on some of the major data and then, you know, give our opinion as to, you know, the trends. We should say that June of 2019 through June of 2020 through June of 2021 was a historic year because you had the COVID-19 pandemic in full force. You had historically low interest rates and you had a high buyer demand with a low housing inventory. So the low interest rates and the high buyer demand and low inventory, that just created a bubble that we saw, that we experienced,
storm.
Right?
Yes, yes.
So with that said, one of the initial observations was that from the NAR data was that the pandemic really changed the buyers' perspectives. Typically in the past, buyers moved historically because they wanted to be closer to their work for convenience factors. The data that we saw from last year from based on the NAR, which again covers the whole nation, was that the top reason that buyers relocated was they wanted to be closer to family and friends. I think that's probably significant due to the COVID-19 impact.
I have to say, Ken, I mean, as a real estate professional, we take a very, very strong, you know, interest in the National Realtor Association report. Every year, we definitely read it in depth and study, see how, as a realtor professional, how we can service our community better and improve our service. And first of all, how can you improve the service if we don't understand what our clients' needs are? And the needs are changing based on our experience between 2020 to 2021, the full year, June to June. And not only the buyer, the seller and the buyer, most of the reason is to be close with the family. I think when the pandemic happened, when the big event make people to think deeper, and to think what they're looking for in life in general.
Right, Jane. And I think, you know, since we work mostly in Central Jersey, we experienced that firsthand. You work with many, many sellers and you dealt with many buyers and buyer agents and just even witnessing the open house lines.
Yes.
The buyers, a lot of them were from the city areas and just from the interviewing them or just seeing the offer letters that came in, a lot of the reasons for the move was they wanted to relocate closer to the brother, the sister, the mom, the dad or the parents were moving to be closer to their grandkids or children.
Yes.
So it was all just a family driven desire to be close.
Especially for the aged seller we have, right? And they've been thinking about moving. But during the COVID, they realize how fragile the lives are. And they definitely want to be close to their children, especially grandchildren. My mom used to say, you know, grandchildren is the best medicine for any grandparents' illness, but it's very, very expensive. You know, as a grandchildren.
Exactly.
And but that's the best medication, really. And the close to family is a lot of a main drive for a lot of sellers and buyers. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the practicality took a back seat to the family closeness, which the job is used to. Even when my parents were, when my dad and mom bought their home, they surveyed areas within close proximity, within a certain radius of the job. But it was always the job, you don't want to drive too far to the job. Yeah. But now people, after the COVID, they sacrifice the work travel for the family, the quality of lifetime when they're not working, to be closer to the family.
I think that's a two part, Ken. One part is this survey is between 2020 June until 2021 June, where a lot of companies still in work from home mode, right? So at that time, I mean, a lot of people maybe close to work is become secondary, right? Because they don't have to travel to a lot of people work from home full time. Some of them, they do go, but 1 day and 2 days, right? And plus now, during the shutdown, a lot of playground or a lot of entertaining places not open. So obviously the family were looking for, instead of have a high-rise apartment in the Hoboken and the restaurant, you can go down and enjoy all the amenities, right? They chose to buy a single family with nice yard, especially
and
pool.
With the swimming pool.
Yes,
right.
The high demand.
So that's a very good point you raised, which is a good way to interpret the data. A lot of the reason that the job proximity, obviously there was a sentimentality factor that needed to be close to family. But secondly, like you brought out, being close to the job became irrelevant because for most jobs, it was work from home. And unless you're essential, a first line responder, or you're in construction, or you have a physical job that requires. Yep. So it became an irrelevant factor. So they just said, you know what, I'm working from the computer anyway, so I can be 50 miles away or an
additional. And as you said, right, they work from home create another need, which is they need a bigger place. Used to be, think about it, if you and I, a young couple, live in Hoboken, have one daughter, right? We're happy. Send her to childcare, and we'll have to go to Manhattan, and life is good, right? But now we both have to work from home, and then the kids have nowhere to even run, especially toddlers. They need the space to run. So obviously it makes sense to move to, suburb like East Brunswick, South Brunswick, Central Jersey area, right? When you have a big yard and the kids can enjoy, and then you and I have a private space because you know how loud I can be on the phone.
So that way everybody has some
extra room.
Yeah, so this data makes total sense based on our experience, because another factor, obviously, even if the homes didn't have a pool, one of the things that we've experienced was that the buyers were typically always inquiring whether or not a pool could be installed in the backyard, whether it was level, whether there was enough boundary to put in a decent-sized pool. And secondly, the home office was a big factor for a lot of homes, either having a finished basement with a possible home office, or having that first level, which had the home office, as a lot of homes have.
Yeah. So used to be, as a listing agent, we used to say this home have a den, a possibly fifth bedroom. Because why possible? Because bedroom has to have a window and the entrance to the main area,
and
also a closet. So most of them don't. So we call them den. Now we just happily to say, hey, this is a office. Office/possible fifth bedroom, rather than just say den.
Yeah.
So office definitely in demand. A lot of home have reasonable high ceiling basement become more attractive. I mean, Ken, regardless people want a pool or not, still some people may don't want a pool. Either like me, they don't swim, or they worry about the kids, too young, the safety, or they just don't, enjoy it. Everybody's different. But still, everybody want a nice, peaceful yard, because during the pandemic, especially last 2-3 years, I have to say, sit in the backyard, in the green, it's really good for your soul. It's really calm you down, from
absolutely,
the craziness.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's another interesting data. This is comparing it to back in 1981, basically 40 years ago compared to 2021. The down payment amount back in 1981, 40 years ago, the typical down payment based on the data they did back then was 20%. In 2021, again, for the period from June of 2020 through June of 2021, the average down payment dropped from 20% down to 13%. And to me, this makes total sense because the interest rates were extraordinarily low. So people wanted to take advantage. They figured, you know what, let's put down less money. Let's take advantage of the low interest rates and free up the money for other purposes.
For your swimming pool, Ken.
Yeah, exactly. For the home improvement. Right.
Yeah.
So that's something.
And also I think, Ken, you know, one thing is, it's not only during the pandemic. I think, you know, because we had this report, it's back to 40 years ago, you do the comparison. But in recent years, even 5-10 years, right, the buyer changed. You know, they no longer like the traditional, like conservative, like our parents or us. They don't want to pay 20%. First of all, you pay 20%, the only benefit is you save the PMI, right? The insurance, right? You have to pay a little bit more each month. But as you said, right, the interest rate is so low, why not take advantage, right? You could use the fund for other things, right? Such as you can, you know, purchase other asset, you know,
Or
you can improve, and a lot of time that happens. So I always explain to older age seller. They said, "Oh, these people only give me 10%. I don't want it." And during the pandemic, right, especially I always ask for the buyer to provide the bank statement. Sometimes the house not appraised certain value. In order for the buyer to get a home, they have to waive the appraisal. So say if the house sold 600, appraisal only come 550, they really have a 50 grand in the bank, which is, you know, that's the bigger chunk to make up the appraisal. So that's why in the pandemic, is instead of, you know, in addition to the take advantage low interest rate and use the money for other purpose, the third one probably put the money aside for the, you know, for the in case it's not appraised. Mm-hmm. So that's another issue just for the pandemic now. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. And here's another interesting statistic. The average age of the buyers back in 40 years ago, 1981, it was about 29 years old was the average age. Now in 2021, based again on the national data, it was 33 years. So it increased. So the age increased by 4 years. And I think that goes kind of with the trend with, you know, people getting married later in life and, you know, buying, you know, so the average age increased a little bit.
And also, I think on top of that, when our parents age, our age, we stay a job for longer. We graduate from college, we get a job, we stay there and for the promotion, work hard and, you know, down the corporate ladder. But the young people now, particularly, they move job very frequently. They not only move within state. Sometimes they move out of state, so why they want to buy? They want to rent, and then by the 30, they pretty much career already have a good outline of their career. So and they decide to settle down.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. Good stuff. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
For feedback and suggestions for future topics, go to their Facebook page, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane, or email them at realestatewithkenandjane@gmail.com. Or call 732-898-2266. A two-story building, approximately 5,100 square feet, with private offices and open spaces located in prime downtown New Brunswick, is available for lease. Yes, come on down and take a look. The building is zoned community commercial and has many permitted uses, including office, art gallery, theater, and music studio. To learn more about this property and more, contact Ken at 908-337-9448. That's Ken at 908-337-9448. A state-of-the-art building, approximately 3,000 square feet with a backup generator and plenty of parking, is available for lease. Located on the main thoroughfare in Hamilton Township, the building is zoned highway commercial and is suitable for retail, medical, office, education, and much more. To find out more and see if it fits your business and your needs, contact Ken at 908-337-9448. That's Ken at 908-337-9448. Attention to developers and contractors. Over 3 acres of land located at the heart of East Brunswick is up for sale. Great location and lots of potential. For further details, please contact Ken at 908-337-9448. You are listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Muller on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. Now let's get back to the show.
Okay, welcome back to our show. The next statistic I want to cover, Jane, is the percentage of buyers that used a realtor in comparison from 1981 as compared to last year in 2021. So I'm going to give you the first statistic. In 1981, the data showed that 82% of the buyers bought with a realtor.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think now a lot's happened in 40 years. We've gone through a lot of presidents, you know, inflation and, you know, rising
all
interest rates and then the few cycles of the economy, right? But technology has improved. Now, back in 81, obviously the internet was not even, maybe it was in the infancy, or maybe they were dreaming about, you know, having that technology. But obviously in 2021, you've got the internet in full force. You've got tools on the phone. You've got all the different ways that the home can be marketed and exposed to it. So having said that, again, 82% in 1981 used an agent. According to the data, in 2021, what would you think, common sense?
I have to read. You better give.
Well,
otherwise,
okay. Well, 88% bought with a realtor in 2021 for that period. So it increased by 6% from 40 years ago. So that's kind of a remarkable statistic, because it's counterintuitive. You would think that it would go in the reverse direction, but so buyers relied more on the real estate professionals now than they did 40 years ago.
Yeah, one thing is, Ken, right? I, as a real estate agent, I have to share a story. When I was a new agent, the seasoned agent said to me, Jane, you don't know, in the 80s, right? In the 80s and 90s, they all on the book. When the buyer came to, they have to come to the real estate company, and then they have a book. So they have to look it up. They have a big board in the office, which one is there, which one's sold. So they had everything by menu.
They had a messenger, from what I understand. Again, this is before my time, but apparently they had people, or I don't know if they were hired by the companies or independent contractors, sort of like the lawyer service. They were the realtor service. They would they would drive to every broker and drop off the book on a weekly basis.
The book,
and it would be, I guess it would be, you know, highlighted or what's, you know, updated, you know, via paper. They would just update it
time being a realtor, you must be thinking you're in the power chair, right? You have the secret book. But nowadays, the knowledge is power. It's up there. It's on the internet. I think coming back to what you say, Ken, right? There's more buyer use a realtor, sure. But today's buyer is very different from 40 years ago. First of all, in my opinion, the buyer has the most updated information. Because once online, when the agent put your listing in multiple listing in a minute, so went on live. So the buyer sometimes see it even before the agent see it. Because your agent, maybe you're driving, you're in a meeting, like now our phone's shot, right? So they get it. We had a one house, right? We put it on the market, but unfortunately the professional photographer, the photo came back a little late, much later than we expected. So we put on the market, but we just had the open house on the same day. So the seller was very, very concerned. So Jane, we didn't get a photo back on Friday night, only got Saturday morning. And the Saturday, you know, 1 o'clock have open house. So we didn't have a chance put a listing in until about 11. So it's just 3 hours before open house. The seller very concerned, say, Jane, you're going to waste your time. You know, nobody would come. I said to her, don't worry. We're going to be there. If they don't come today, they come tomorrow. So I just still want to, we already planned, let's go ahead. And the listing went in within 6 minutes. I get a call from the client themselves. I always ask them, are you working with the agent? Yes. I said, well, you know, this is how these, please contact your agent. But by the way, we'll have open house. And they said, yeah, we saw it. So I said, okay. We still had, you know, even though just a very short period of time, we still had about 8 to 10 family came that Saturday open house, which is amazing.
Right. That's the power of the internet through the different companies,
venues,
with
hundreds
Zillow, Realtor.com, and all Remax has so many, a few hundred websites that we have that the home gets advertised to.
Yes.
So your venue is so much more powerful, the open house tool, some things stand the test of time. The open house tool itself, the hosting of the open house and the physical physicality of it is still there.
Relevant. Yes, definitely.
As we covered in a prior show, that the, you know, it's because real estate is still a people to people business, right?
Yes, absolutely. Just coming back on what you said, right? I mean, the rely on a realtor. They do buyer today compared with before. They know the how much inventory. They know the inventory very well.
Right,
because
used to be
in the book, now it is out in open. Secondly, the buyer like to do a lot of research themselves, and they already know, the house, the history. They already search a lot.
Also, they also search the internet, the schools. I mean, even though as a real estate professional, you have to know your schools inside out. But the buyers come in very educated on the schools.
Yeah. They have a lot of school reports.
Because they get the school reports from the online, you know, just Googling it, they can pull it up.
And also, reviews, feedbacks in the neighborhood, they have that already.
Also, the bus, the public transportation, a lot of times it's important to know that, but they can pull a lot of that data from the public resources as well.
Yet
they still, you know, they still are relying on the agent's expertise, which shows that, you know, real estate is a complicated issue, and they truly trust the real estate professional to guide them and advise them, you know, based on their professional opinion as to the price and strategy for getting their dream home.
Mm-hmm. Once again, I think the number in New Jersey probably higher, because once again, rely on the realtor. Another reason I'm to think of, this report is nationally. Every state may have a different law. In New Jersey, you know, I mean, the seller gave a agent authority to do dual agent. So dual agent not means I represent seller personally, I represent the buyer as well. Yes, I can. But also mean the whole company. For example, Remax, we have over 100 agents, right?
So Remax First Realty, we have a thousand agent Remax. But what you're saying is a good point, Jane, because in certain states, again, from the real estate education training we've had, certain states don't allow dual agency, which means that the same brokerage firm cannot represent the seller and the buyer. But in New Jersey, dual agency is allowed. In other words, the broker, Remax First Realty, could have an agent represent the seller, and likewise could have another agent represent the buyer. That constitutes a dual agency if the same brokerage firm is involved in the transaction.
Yeah, my train of thought was if you are in the state, the seller only allowed to represent seller. If the buyer came themselves, they could somehow maybe represent themselves. Maybe that's why, even though the percentage higher in New Jersey, I think the percentage even much higher. Because if the listing represented by a real estate agent, very rare. I mean, I don't see much in my experience the buyer not represented by any agent. You know, even they come to your open house, it will be represented by, you know, either the agent or whoever helped them, right? How they didn't get access to the house? The agent have to show them the house.
Well, or unless they come at open house, then they come off the street. And then, but I don't think, have you ever had that situation occur in your whole career where a buyer that came to an open house said they want to represent themselves?
I had one situation that was well before COVID. It was a long, long time ago. What happened was the seller asked me to represent them selling the house. So put on a market, we had quite a few bid, but just in the meantime, the neighbor called owner directly. They know each other. And they said, hey, my relative want to buy this house. So a relative doesn't have an agent. So at that time, I didn't feel comfortable to sort of like represented both party per se, right? They don't have agent. So what we did was, but I don't know, maybe still feeling as an agent because I was their transactional broker.
Right, and that's something on the New Jersey forms, the realtor forms, they actually have a provision for a transactional broker and the commission that the agreement that the seller would give.
A lot of time it's not only on commission side, Ken, it's on your duty to your client, right? If you represent them, you know, there's a one page of duty we must perform. But if you're a transactional broker, the duty is much minimum.
Right. I think basically in a transactional broker, again, if that's a duty that the seller allows, they have the option of entertaining that or not allowing. But the transactional broker's duty really is only to bring the parties together to the transaction. And then it's basically they're not involved in any of the details and the negotiations of once the contract is signed, they just have a hands-off approach and don't get involved in the home inspection, the mortgage, or following up or doing anything of all the details involved in seeing it from start to finish.
Yeah. But if that transactional broker still represented by an agent, I think in New Jersey, I think the buyer represented by the agent should be almost 100%, right? Any leasing, unless you buy a for sale by owner, take a part of it or other means, right? I mean, even you buy the new construction from the builder, they have agents sit there to help you. So yes. Builder have that. So I that's a good question, how the number derived. But based on reading this report, I think in New Jersey, our buyers represented by the real estate agent should be almost 100%. So much, much higher.
Right. Yeah.
If the listing is represented by the real estate agent, licensed real estate agent, generally speaking, the buyer most likely would be represented by a real estate agent.
Right. Yeah. And another interesting statistic, which is, I guess, comforting for the realtors, the real estate professionals out there, is that according to this national survey, 90% of the buyers said they would recommend their real estate agent to others, meaning that so they were
happy
with their service, which is good, 9 out of 10. So that's a pretty good review on a national basis that bodes well for the realtors. And again, we can cover this, but being a realtor is obviously getting licensed, going the background check, passing the preliminary the testing, and then you have to go for continuing education. And they're always stressing not only the real estate, the fundamentals of the real estate rules and regulations, but ethics is a big component. That's a mandatory continuing education requirement. You have to do so many credits every cycle in ethics, which covers, again, the duties to the client, the duties to the other, your fellow agents, and the duties to the public. So
absolutely. So that's all important, Ken.
So being a realtor and being a member of the Realtor Association carries a lot of credibility, and that, you know, it's a national organization. And then as being in New Jersey, we belong to the county chapters, county board as well, and there's just continual education, and there's like ethics committees, and there's grievances, so it's a very regulated and they take it very seriously
that
the process for protecting the best interests of the public,
the
welfare of the buyers and the sellers.
Yeah. Besides that, right? That's really a very important foundation. Besides that, your realtor, I mean, like us, our realtors always make sure understand our clients' needs. And use your knowledge and the negotiation expertise to help our client to reach their goal. Sometimes that's our job, right? The buyer, they may not know, even though they think they know what they want, but it's up to the agent to find out what really their real needs are and to satisfy that need beautifully.
Yep. Okay. Well said, Jane. Next show, we're out of time, but next show, we're going to continue delving more into the statistics from the NAR. All right, till then, have a good one. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
You have been listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Muller, airing every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. For feedback and suggestions for future topics, go to their Facebook page, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane, or email them at realestatewithkenandjane@gmail.com or call 732-898-2266.